Chapter 15. The Funeral. The next morning in the local newspaper was a very small news item. Former Queen Mother dies. The former Queen Mother has died in Hellebore Close. She was 92. The Queen closed the newspaper and noticed a headline on the front page. Loan crisis. Japan wants its money back. Japan is demanding to be repaid for all its loans to Britain. But what has Mr. Barker promised to give Japan? The Bank of England is empty. The British people must be told the truth. Later, the Queen walked to Spiggy's house. He was making a coffin for the Queen Mother. When the Queen arrived, Spiggy was just finishing it. "It's suitable for a queen," he said.
"Thank you," said the Queen. "It's beautiful. How much do I have to pay you?"
Spiggy was insulted.
"If I can't help a neighbour for free, I'm not much of a person," he said.
The Queen began to wash the floor.
"I'll do that," said Spiggy. "You weren't brought up to do dirty work."
"Then maybe I should learn how to do it,"
replied the Queen.
"I'm sorry about your mum," Spiggy said.
"Thank you,"
said the Queen, and for the first time since her mother's death, she started to cry. Spiggy held the Queen in his arms.
"It'll be okay," he said gently.
After the Queen had finished crying, Spiggy made her a cup of tea. The Queen tried to count how many cups of tea she had drunk in Hell Close. Hundreds, probably.
"A cup of tea is such a comfort," she said to Spiggy.
"Yes, it's hot and it's cheap," said Spiggy. "It's a treat when you've got nothing, and it helps to break up the day."
Anne knocked on the back door and came in.
"I've come to help you paint the cart, Spiggy," she said.
She explained to her mother that Gilbert was going to pull the coffin on Spiggy's cart.
"But Anne, darling," the Queen said, "Mummy can't be buried from the back of an old gypsy cart."
"That's why we're going to paint it," said Spiggy, smiling. "It'll look as good as new when we've finished."
The Queen was too sad and tired to argue.
And Spiggy really was such a good, kind man.
The Queen woke up early on the morning of the funeral. She lay awake thinking about her mother. Then she got out of bed and looked out of the window. She saw that Fitzroy Toussaint's car was parked outside Diana's house. The Queen dressed in a blue suit and hat and went across the road to her mother's bungalow. Philomena was in the kitchen preparing sandwiches for the reception after the funeral. A neighbour came in with a plate of biscuits.
"How kind," said the Queen.
Beverly came next with a large fruitcake. Soon the little kitchen table was full of food. Outside, other neighbours were bringing bunches of flowers. A police car drove up. Inside was Prince Charles, handcuffed to a prison guard. At 8:30 a.m., Anne and Spiggy arrived in the newly painted cart, which Anne was driving. Spiggy got down from the cart. The coffin was put onto the cart and the flowers were placed around it. This time Spiggy drove, with Anne sitting beside him. As the funeral procession went through the barrier, PC Ludlow saluted. When Charles went through, however, PC Ludlow was too embarrassed to look at him directly. Diana was wearing her prettiest but most uncomfortable shoes, and it was difficult for her to walk in them. Fitzroy Toussaint, in his expensive dark suit, gave her his arm.
"This is a woman who needs help," he thought,
and he decided that he was the man who would give it to her. When they arrived for the funeral, the Queen looked at all her family. Charles was staring at Beverly Threadgold. Diana was in the arms of Fitzroy Toussaint, and Anne was crying on Spiggy's shoulder. And she, the Queen, stood alone. Then, one by one, her friends and neighbours came up and gave the Queen a hug. The Queen felt warm in a way she had never felt before. She liked being hugged.
"These are simple people, and they've got very little money, but they're very warm and kind," she thought.
The funeral reception went on until late in the afternoon. The Queen relaxed with her guests and talked happily about her mother. Meanwhile, Philomena Toussaint sat next door in her kitchen. She couldn't stay in a house where alcohol was served. She stood on a chair and started to tidy all the tins, packets and cartons in her high cupboard. All the tins, packets and cartons were empty. They represented an old woman's pride and a very small pension. In Grimstone Towers, Prince Philip sat up in bed and told a new nurse that he was the Duke of Edinburgh.
"I'm married to the Queen, I'm father of the Prince of Wales, and I'm captain of the Royal Yacht Britannia," he said.
"Of course you are,"
said the nurse kindly and went to the next bed. The patient in it said loudly,
"I'm the new Messiah."
"Of course you are,"
said the nurse again. Prince Charles asked the prison guard to let him look at his garden. The prison guard wanted to go to the toilet, so he allowed Charles a few minutes on his own while he went upstairs to the tiny bathroom. Charles was horrified by the terrible dehydrated state of his garden, but he didn't have time to worry about that just then.
"Quick, find my tracksuit and trainers," he said quietly to Diana.
Diana did as he told her. She also gave him a £20 note from her purse and said,
"Good luck, darling. I'm sorry that it had to end this way."
While the prison guard was washing his hands upstairs, Prince Charles was already on his way to Scotland and to freedom.